The DOT wants no part of enforcing airline passengers' rights. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Kate Hanai, who is the founder of FlyersRights.org, formerly known as the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. You can find the organization at www.flyersrights.org. And this is the organization which thinks there should be some kind of legislation passed at the federal level, or I guess if the states would do it, that would be fine too, but something that guarantees that if you're stuck out on the tarmac for hours at a time in a diversion that or a taxi out, then a delayed takeoff, whatever, that you should have working lavatories and maybe even a drink of water. Kate, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, thanks for having me again, Paul. I always love it.
Well, we haven't talked in quite a while, and you were on this tarmac task force of, I think, 35 people that's been meeting in Washington, D.C., and the group just wrapped up its work. And if I understand correctly, the fix was probably kind of in from the beginning because it was pretty much stacked with airline representatives. What was the makeup of this panel?
There were 15 member airlines. There were approximately 12 airports. Myself and another consumer advocate and a couple of Airline Pilot Association union members, as well as the FAA was represented there and a few other representatives. But they were all industry people with the exception of myself and Mike Collins.
Collins voted in favor of this final report. Why did it come down to be 34-1 with you the only dissenting vote?
I'm literally the only person that had no other criteria than airline passengers. Oddly enough, Mike Collins, who's a wonderful guy, filed dissenting remarks, but he runs a government group. The National Council on Disabilities is a government organization, and he runs it.
Okay, all right. So let me read from just briefly a couple of things that were in this final document from the task force. Passengers stuck on the tarmac every 15 minutes should be updated about their situation, even if there's no news to report. Refreshments and entertainment should be provided for stuck travelers when practical, and airlines should And airlines should make every reasonable effort, unquote, to keep lavatories usable. This sounds kind of like the language you read if you go to the contracts of carriage.
Contracts of carriage, right? I actually think it's worse. I actually think we have less in this task force report than already exists in the contract of carriage, although most contracts of carriage do say that they can hold you for a reasonable amount of time on the ground in the event of a weather delay.
Mm-hmm.
The term reasonable has never been distinguished in a court of law, and that's always been the problem. So when you hear things like when practical or reasonable or, you know, any of the other versions of maybe that mm-hmm. they have put in this document, it just makes you want to choke them. You know, at least me, I'm like, look, you guys, you know, we've been sitting here for 10 months. Why don't we just lock the doors, take all the water and food out, not let you go to the restroom and see how it is after 8 hours?
Well, since you've mentioned several times when we've talked, Kate, these airline contracts of carriage, let me read a paragraph from a couple of them. American Airlines contract of carriage under the heading Essential Needs During Extraordinary Delays says this: in the case of extraordinary events that result in very lengthy onboard delays, American Airlines and American Eagle will make every reasonable effort to ensure that essential needs of food, snack bars such as Nutri-Grain, water, restroom facilities, and basic medical assistance are met. We are not responsible for any special, incidental, or consequential damages if we do not meet this commitment. I mean, that sounds very much like the DOT, you know, tarmac task force report.
You got it. And the one thing that I've said over and over is look at their loose use of the word commitment.
Right, right.
A commitment is not a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
When you use the word commitment with people, they hear it like it's a promise. You know, they're hearing it like this is real and it's something I can count on. Most of us who are non-lawyers would never have guessed that we had to read the contract of carriage that closely, every detail, to understand how little we could actually count on from the airlines or how few rights we actually have. But the truth of the matter is we have less rights than a prisoner of war per the Geneva Convention, and that's provable.
So we have a document now that uses much of the same language. United's is another example. United will make every reasonable effort in accordance with an established contingency plan to ensure that its passengers are provided with food, water, restroom facilities, and access to medical treatment consistent with customer and employee safety and security, unquote. So Mary Peters, at the end of this all, came out and said that she deeply appreciated the time and efforts and thoughts of all the reps. As we continue our efforts to improve protections for airline passengers, this document and the viewpoints of all the task force members should provide a valuable resource to minimize the hardships to passengers. And I'm struggling to figure out what it is that she's reading, because from what I can tell, this really doesn't do a whole lot.
No, it does nothing. I don't know what she's looking at. I mean, it's this is the grossest waste of taxpayer dollars and our time and our coalition members' donations that I've ever seen. Of course, I'm, newly lobbying the last 2 years, so I'm sure that this gross waste has been going on for a long time, but something's got to shift. $140,000 is a lot of money to most people.
Mm-hmm.
We were at the Department of Transportation building. What they spent $140,000 on is a mystery to me, but that's what they spent. I had to fly out for every task force meeting in Washington and listen to the Air Transport Association, which is the pit bull lobbying group for the airlines,
mm-hmm.
say that blood clots are not caused by air travel, say that, in an off-the-record conversation with a reporter that I saw, say that evidently all of the reporters in the U.S. have drunk Miss Kate Hates Airlines Kool-Aid. And all we're asking for are basic human standards on aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of pushback we're getting from this industry, and it's ridiculous. It is the most anti-consumer stand of any business I can imagine. I don't know how they can run their business the way that they're running it and not lose the majority of the people that are flying.
Well, the Air Transport Association had a spokeswoman named Elizabeth Morita who made a comment on this report as well. And she said the success of the task force clearly demonstrates that not every problem requires a new law or regulation, especially when it comes to operational and customer service issues, unquote. So clearly from her point of view, the ATA's point of view, this task force was a success. I guess that could have been predicted, too.
Well, that's predictable because they got everything they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They got everything they wanted in this report, which is nothing for the passengers. They gave not one inch and probably took back some rights, unfortunately, that we thought we had.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I'm concerned about when the secretary does this rulemaking, which I believe is imminent, I'm very afraid that that she's going to do a rulemaking that's actually going to take some of our rights away that we currently do have.
That's kind of hard to imagine when they're all couched in language such as when practical and every reasonable effort. But
that's the fear I have, is that the original rulemaking that she started out with actually was leaving everything up to the airlines. And, of course, we were very vocal about that wasn't okay. And they were leaving it up to them, and so finally they said, well, we'll form a task force. And I think what she was hoping, against all odds, was that the airlines might come forward and offer an olive branch. Maybe there'd be something that we would get,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't. And the truth of the matter is she didn't need that task force to do a rulemaking.
Right.
We already know what the problems are. And there are some really simple solutions to these problems, as complicated as the airlines would like to make them. The solutions are not all that complex, and it wouldn't cost a whole lot either. So I really challenge them to come up with how this is benefiting the public. I can't wait to hear what they say.
Let's stop here and take a break, Kate. But when we come back, Mary Peters obviously has managed to probably get this out of her inbox for the duration of her term. And there's going to be a new Secretary of Transportation, sometime in January or February. Let's talk when we come back about where the coalition goes from here. My guest is Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org. I'm Paul Platt. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org. And we're talking about the task force that the DOT put together, heavily stacked in favor of the airlines. Kate, this is the fear that I think that a lot of general aviation pilots and aircraft owners have about the user fee board that would administer a user fee system, is that it would wind up with, clearly a majority of people who were under the influence of the airline industry who would pretty much have carte blanche. So this is kind of a scary thing for us to look at from this side. But let's talk about where you go from here. If you, I would guess things are pretty much going to be at a standstill now until the Obama administration comes in. By the time our listeners are hearing this, President Bush and Secretary Peters have scheduled a Tuesday morning press conference to discuss the results of the task force. And I know that you will have a response after that. But
yes.
Looking forward from here, we pretty much know what will be in that, at least in its general form. Where does the coalition go from here, and what's the next thing on your agenda?
Well, the good news is that the incoming administration, and no matter what political party you are, you can at least be grateful for this, that Obama happened to be a co-sponsor of our legislation, of the standalone bill that we had on the Senate side. And Senator Biden had done a press release late in 2007, about a comprehensive airline passenger bill of rights that he would like to see passed if he were president.
Mm-hmm.
And Rahm Emanuel, who's the new chief of staff, is a huge proponent of our passenger bill of rights on the House side. So there is some really good news on the horizon, not only for our airline passenger bill of rights, but I believe for the whole FAA modernization bill,
mm-hmm.
which in truth, everything in that bill is going to be good for passengers. The modernization of the system must happen, and it needs to get started now since it's going to take so long to complete it. And the FAA has some monies built in to inspect jets. So I really think that this new administration coming in is going to be a huge benefit to airline passengers. Now, as far as the user fee issue, I also believe that that issue is not going to succeed. I think with the general makeup of who's going to be in the Senate now, and that there's a little bit more of a majority there than before. Everything was stuck in the Senate before. And as you probably know, Ted Stevens cast the sort of fatal vote that threw everything askew.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not looking like he's having a very good time in Alaska. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but I think the general makeup is going to be very positive for general aviation. I think the general makeup is going to be much more positive for airline passengers who are forced to fly commercial aviation. And I think things are going to be looking up, honestly, at least from this perspective.
Well, now taking the devil's advocate side of someone who is an advocate of free market principles.
Devil.
Even if someone agrees that there should be a law for this, you get to a point where if you can't get the law done, at least in the short term, is there a role for the coalition in trying to move market forces to make this happen? Can you convince passengers to demand more?
Yes, that would be our next step. You know, we really tried not to affect the airlines negatively in terms of the impact on them. We've never called for a boycott. We've never said don't fly this or that airline, although we are about to come out with our new report card on December 13th. which is going to be a doozy. And most people don't realize how many stranding events have happened this year. And some airlines have gotten better, a few of them, but some have actually doubled or tripled the number of 4 to 5 hour strandings that they've had this year. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this all shakes out. And if we can't by March get this done, and I'm looking at sort of March as the date that I'm hopeful that we will be able to get this done now, really hopeful, like strongly feeling like we'll get it done, then I think what we're going to have to do are some much more broad measures. I think we're going to have to come out in support of Cisco Systems, telecommunications.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to look at all of the different ways that people could avoid traveling by air to get to where they need to go.
Well, now,
possibly supporting high-speed rail. There's all kinds of ideas.
Those are all pretty long-term deals, though. I mean, changing business culture to embrace teleconferencing has been very difficult, even with the current economic advantages it holds. I guess what I was getting at is, do you start a section of your website where you highlight what these contracts of carriage say and try to educate consumers to, you know, call the airlines on this total weasel language?
Well, calling the airlines on it usually means calling Congress on the airlines. We can complain to the airlines all we want. We can do it in the media insofar as the media will accept the message that we're presenting to them. Usually the media drives which direction the message is going to go, which is very interesting also. But I think we could very well start elaborating what the contracts of carriage say and also what the government rulemaking says, because it's going to be very interesting. We're going to have to speak up and do something very major if Secretary Peters comes out with a rulemaking that takes us backwards. We're going to have to get the new administration to suspend the rulemaking or overrule it. So there's something that there's an action item that we're going to have to do right away that I'm anticipating. That's going to be challenging in this economic environment. But yes, there are some things we could do. That's a great idea, Paul, actually, elaborating what each contract of carriage says. And our report card does as well, compare the contracts of carriage in some key ways. I don't know if you noticed that.
I have not spent a lot of time on the website, but I did notice that it still had pretty much a focus on let's get the law done, and I just wondered if there would be any shift in direction. It sounds as though you have a lot of optimism, though, for after the new administration comes in, that maybe what you were after a year ago will finally happen.
Yes, I do. And you know, call me crazy, but I mean, all signs are good that they will actually act on something. And I really believe that we have our best shot right now, and if we don't get it by March, that we'll at least have a clear idea of when it will be heard. You know, many of the congressmen and senators that I've been working with keep me abreast of what's going on and what they feel the timing is, and most people are saying March is looking very strong.
Well, we will watch with great interest, Kate, and we'd love to talk to you again after President Bush and Mary Peters make their announcements and after the coalition has had a chance to respond.
Yes.
Kate,
I look forward to it too. Thanks, Paul.
All right. Kate Hanai is the founder and president of the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. You can find more about the organization at flyersrights.org, and that's flyers with a Y. You can call them if you have a stranding incident to report at 1-877-FLYERS-6, FLYERS-6. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.